case you missed out on all the fun on the show, you can catch up on the Josh and Maddie podcast right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Did you do a podcast yesterday while I was away?
Nope.
Yeah, that's fine.
And the day before, I didn't either because you're only here for half the show.
I was only here for like three quarters of the show, yeah. So that's fine. A third. I'm going to say a third of the show. Actually, yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello. Hi. Welcome. What's been happening?
I don't know. On the show today, we're doing a lot of good stuff. It's Mother's Day at time of recording. If you're listening to this in a week's time, it is the 7th of the 5th, which means Mother's Day is 2 days away. We gave away or got our winner for our messages for Mum. That happened on the show. We did Baller versus Caller, Baller v. Caller. And the questions, I feel like we need to come up with some kind of guidelines for questions on the Baller v. Caller because they can literally ask whatever they want.
Well, I thought today I gave some good guidelines. I was like, it doesn't have to be a basketball question. It can be anything. Like, it could just be a Disney trivia. Like, it doesn't have to be hard. Like, the idea is that one of us would hopefully get it. Mm. And I feel like every week it's just ridiculously hard questions.
Well, last week when I was here on my own, the question was like, what year was the battle of something? It was like 1066, and it was just ridiculously hard questions. But, you know, that's what people are into. That's what people like to do. That's fine. I'm not going to judge them.
What else is happening? I'm just really tired. I'm so busy. Like, it's really frustrating. I think we talked about this earlier in the week that people are away at the moment, and so I'm having to do two jobs, which is fine, but I like don't even have time to do my own job now. I'm just doing this other person's job. And I'm like, this is annoying. And like, it's trying to find a balance. And then people being like, well, why don't you just stay later? Like, no.
Yeah. Well, you going to pay me for later?
Probably not.
No, no,
it's
not
very
at all.
Frustrating. It's like people just have very different, and this would happen in any workplace. People have different ideas of what the priorities are.
Yes.
And stuff like in my world, priorities is our show because that's my name, my face, my brand on it and everything. But in sales world, priority is me writing commercials.
Is money, yeah.
Which I understand. And it's like, I used to work in sales, and if it wasn't for them working so hard and selling all these commercials, we wouldn't be getting paid and all this other stuff. So it's a fine balance, but it is very hard me trying to tackle all of this stuff. So.
Yeah. It's a pain, but that's just the industry that we work in.
And like trying to deal with clients who are replying back to commercials, like scripts that I'm writing at like 4 PM, which is none of their fault in any way, shape or form. But I ain't here.
Yeah.
Like I start at 12 hours earlier sometimes. Yeah. So yeah, it's just a bit of, I'm looking forward. I have another week of it. So who knows how long it'll take me to get this podcast uploaded today is what I'm saying.
Because this will be up in a couple of days' time.
Because I have so much other work I need to do. But anyways. Yeah. Anyways, that's just me. I'm just tired.
Yeah. We're all,
I had a bit of a disturbed sleep. So.
Same. I was up a couple of times last night.
Like, I started off fine. And then Griggs had to get up in the middle of the night to have a conference call with Spotify over in the US. So he was up at like 1:30 and then that kind of woke me up. But I told him to put an alarm. So it's fine. Like, that's my fault. And I did like go back to sleep quite instantly. But then I was half awake by that stage. And then so then when he came back into bed, like I felt him come back into bed. I was like, oh, okay. So that woke me up a bit. And then my alarm's just going, It's just one of those days.
Disturbed sleep is the worst, isn't
it? But on a positive note, I had a whole entire loaf of garlic bread to myself last night. So
and we
treat yourself.
And free lunch today.
We still have our, I saw that she has donuts.
Really?
I want a donut.
So are they for her or did she put them on the communal table?
I don't know.
Because if they're on the communal table, free reign, my friend. Free reign.
Okay, bye. We got to go.
We'll be back on Monday with another podcast. We will see you then.
Have a good weekend if you're listening to this on a Friday.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day, Mum.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that's one thing we did just before we go quickly. You stitched me up with a quiz about my mother, which I did surprisingly well at.
You did, actually. I didn't think you were going to do that well, but you did.
I think I got like, there were six questions. I think I got four.
Yeah, three or four. I wasn't keeping count, so.
No.
All right, so I'm running now.
This has been riveting.
I know. Sorry, everyone. I know this is probably like not the most ideal content to be listening to. It's just us complaining.
Yeah. Anyway, we will be back on Monday with another podcast. We will see you then. Bye.
Bye.
The all-new Power FM Brekkie Show with Josh and Maddie.
You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
Good morning, Ballarat. It is Josh and Maddie here this morning on your Monday morning, 10 past 6.
For a very rainy week ahead of us, apparently.
Yeah, really?
I was really annoyed because I was in on Saturday, right? And every forecast said rain. It is going to rain Saturday afternoon and Saturday night. So here I am being like, don't forget your brolly a bit later today. Did it rain? No.
No.
Not at, I might have rained some places, but...
It could have rained, like, last night. Did it?
I don't think so.
It didn't seem wet this morning when I woke up.
Nope, and it was really frustrating because... I was just saying all day, it's going to rain, it's going to rain.
Everyone's probably thinking, you're a liar.
No, it literally said that's all the forecast said it was meant to do on Saturday was, it's going to rain. So today it says it's a 95% chance of rain. So if it doesn't today...
Who knows?
Who knows? I can't trust the weather anymore.
Yeah.
I made a terrible mistake yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
So it was Mother's Day, obviously, and I knew it was Mother's Day. I hadn't forgotten that. Sorry, I just hit my microphone. But one thing I had forgot to do was book for breakfast.
Right.
So since moving here, Griggs and I haven't gone out for breakfast.
Yeah.
Which is very, the one time it was with you and your mom. But even then that was like a bit later in the day.
Later in the day,
and
yeah.
So we just haven't done it. We've been busy and sleeping and things like that. So we just haven't gone out. And then yesterday, earlier in the week, last week, I was like, we should go out for breakfast on Sunday. Not realizing that Sunday was Mother's Day at that point. Mm-hmm. But later in the week I did. And we're like, oh yeah, we should do that. And so we'd like planned for it. I was going to the gym and then we're going to go out afterwards. And then I did realize it was Mother's Day and I was like, should I book? Should I not book? And I decided and I settled on not booking because it was only the two of us. And usually like you can just fit somewhere. They'll just chuck you somewhere.
Yeah.
I was like, we'll be fine. And we're going at like 10:30, 11 o'clock. So I was like, surely most people would be done with breakfast by this point. It's that weird, awkward time between breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
So we're like, we could probably fit in somewhere. So we went to one place and walked in straight away. They're like, yeah, no. And I was like, oh, okay. So then we walked down Sturt Street and we're like, oh, we'll just go for a walk. And we ended up down near Yellow Espresso Bar.
Okay.
They were packed.
Well, so where did you start from?
We started at Pancake Kitchen.
Okay, okay.
And then walked on to Yellow Espresso Bar.
Yeah.
No, they were packed. We didn't even ask there.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, there's no chance.
Yeah.
And then we just started walking up further and further. And then we got up to Doveton Street.
Okay.
So we walked from the bottom of Sturt Street all the way to the top of Doveton because that's how desperate we were for food. I'd already been to the gym at this point as well and I was starving.
Yeah.
And then we're like, I don't know. And then luckily we got into Cafe Lekker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which was quite nice.
That's up even further.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so we sat outside and the whole entire time Griggs is like, we should have booked. I was like, I know, but it's just me. And then he was like, well, why don't we go to Piper's? And I was like, there's no chance we're going to get into Piper's.
No, no way.
So
even when you got a place, you finally found a table, he was still going, we should have booked.
Well, it wasn't like that bad, but at the same time, he's like, you're the one that wanted to go out for breakfast, so why didn't you book?
Did you have a place in mind that you wanted to go?
We wanted to go to Pancake Kitchen. That was our first pick.
Right, right.
And then they were just too busy. And I was like, our backup option, we did, after, if we couldn't get into Cafe Lekker, we're like, okay, this is going to be our backup option, is we're just going to go to a bakery and like go to 1816 or go to like Beechworth or something.
Buy a sausage roll
and then go home and plate it up and make it look fancy. But luckily we did get into somewhere. But thinking back about this, I should have booked.
Booking is so easy nowadays. Like I took Eden to the Forge last night for a Mother's Day dinner and I literally like a couple of days before... just like booked online, just like used, went online and booked.
You
and
don't have to call
You don't even have
days.
To talk to anyone anymore. Which it's amazing.
But still, that freaks me out. I'm still the person that calls. I'd rather call and book a table. But that's just me. But I think I've learnt my lesson. Because usually I'm the person that tells everyone to book as well. It's just so unlike me and I've learnt from my mistakes
Well, now you're a hypocrite.
Thanks for that.
No, you've learned a very valuable lesson. Hey, we've all been there. We all haven't booked once in a while and we learn the lesson and then we get over it and we never forget it again. Maddie, do you like garlic?
I love garlic.
What's the dish that you've put the most amount of garlic in? Like how many cloves?
Oh, I don't know. Like one reference I could say is I ate an entire loaf of garlic bread for dinner the other night. I don't know if that shows that I love garlic or that I was just lazy.
Yeah.
But usually if I'm cooking, like, I used to make at home a garlic pasta.
Yeah.
Super simple, quick little recipe. Chuck in a bit of olive oil, bit of melted butter, and just a ton of garlic, and then maybe parsley if you want to be fancy, and then stir your pasta through it. Oh, so good. Usually, if I'm being lazy, we would have the minced garlic jar.
Yeah, oh, yes, yeah.
Probably like a good...
Minced garlic jar, wow.
Yeah, like you can get it buying in jar. It's not as good as obviously fresh garlic, but if you're in a rush, it saves a lot of time.
Yeah.
I'd put in like a good probably 3 heaping teaspoons of garlic into things when I cook with it.
Yeah.
If I'm having to put fresh garlic, it's a little bit more of a process, but at least 3 cloves of fresh garlic. Whenever any recipe says to put garlic in, that's like my go-to.
Right. Okay. So
but more is always better.
So you might love this then. Nigella Lawson, who we're all famous for the micro ave, and we love her nonetheless, she has shared a recipe on her Instagram. She's titled it Chicken with 40 Cloves of Garlic.
Sounds like heaven. But also, it makes me think of a lot of work because having to peel...
Peel, crush, do all that garlic
Well, the
stuff.
Crushing, because I have a little garlic mincer tool.
Oh,
so
really?
That's not the issue. It's actually having to get the peel off it.
You're living on the high side of life because I'm a crusher and then I got to chop it.
You got to chop it. Nah, oh, life changer. Get a garlic... Get a garlic little mincer thing.
She shared a recipe to her 2.5 million followers saying, when I tell you that garlic chicken with 40 cloves of garlic is recipe of the day, don't be alarmed. I think that garlic, 40 cloves of garlic, I think, is
reasonable.
Way too much.
No, I think it's reasonable.
40 cloves of garlic. Obviously, her fans were poking fun at the recipe, commenting below. But she's divided the internet about this 40 cloves of garlic.
Of course she has, because there's like two people. Like there's either the people like, no, you must add more garlic to everything, which is me.
Yeah.
And I feel like the people like you that it's like, no, enough is enough. Like one
moderation.
Yeah.
I love garlic, but moderation,
nah,
okay?
The more there is, the better it is.
So this recipe serves 4 to 6 people, which means you could be eating like 10 cloves of garlic.
Love that. Garlic's good for you as well.
I know. But imagine your breath afterwards.
Yeah, it's all right.
Do not cook this on a date. Do not cook this meal while you're on a date,
I think.
Nah,
do it. Just really test to see how much they like you right at the beginning. But also, it'd be a good hindrance around Halloween and stuff like that for the vampires out
there.
Oh,
yeah.
No vampire would be coming near you, but in Josh's eyes, no first date would be coming near you either.
Yeah, speaking of vampires, there were a few comments on the post. One person commented that the meal would go down well in Transylvania, where the legend of Dracula is based, as garlic is thought to ward off vampires. Another quipped that, did you actually count them, Nigella? Because there was a video of her just putting a whole heap of garlic in. I feel like this is like that, you remember that little clip where it's like, and a shot of vodka?
That's what
and
I was just thinking.
Like, glug, 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 glug.
And so Nigella's like, just a few cloves of garlic, and Chuck's and like pouring the whole thing in.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this garlic, but you seem to love it, so...
I'm up for it. These days, it's so easy to purchase things online.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculously easy to the point, like, if you have PayPal attached to things and you know the
just
password,
goes through.
It just goes through. Just bang, credit cards attached to things. You got ZipPay, Afterpay.
Mm-hmm.
Also, don't use them because it's bad for your credit rating.
Oh, so bad.
Different chat another day. But with this, of course, it's not only easy for us who have the money, it's easy for kids to use their parents' money.
I know.
And every now and then you hear these stories about kids going online and just like jumping onto like a parent's eBay account or something and spending lots of money on something that they want, which is exactly what has happened once again.
Okay.
And I love this story because it sounds like something that I wish I did with my life.
If this was around back in the day when we were youngins, then this would have been very dangerous.
Well, this is the thing. Like, and kids just want to go online and buy what they feel like. And if there's a credit card attached to it, here we go.
There's nothing stopping them.
And obviously, Amazon Prime, like Amazon is the usual go-to for these ones because you got like the Alexa and stuff set up to it as well. You could just say, hey, Alexa, buy this, and she can go and buy it. It's crazy. So a 4-year-old boy named Noah has accidentally bought $2,600 worth of SpongeBob SquarePants ice cream. Oh, I should have gotten the SpongeBob theme song. I only just thought about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, and it's now prompted his mum's friend to have to set up a GoFundMe account to help cover the cost.
That's insane.
So he bought 918 ice creams from Amazon, SpongeBob SquarePants ones, and had them sent to his auntie's house. So he was smart enough to not get them delivered to his own house.
So he knew what he was doing. Yes. It was a conscious... Yes. It was a conscious little order there.
Yeah, so now his mum's friend has had to set up this GoFundMe. So Jennifer is his mum's name. She's 37. She's a social work student and unsurprisingly can't afford to splash out on thousands of dollars worth of SpongeBob SquarePants ice creams.
That's crazy.
And Amazon won't take back the ice creams.
Uh-huh.
And so she now has to pay for it. Obviously,
could she resell them, start a little side hustle for a little while?
She could have, actually.
To get
I don't
rid
know
of them?
That would have been a smart idea. I didn't
yeah.
see anyone suggest that. Mm. But basically, they've made up a GoFundMe page and said, all donations make a difference, so let's work together and help Jenny out. So Noah actually has autism,
but
he's quickly won over the internet with his sweet story because he just wanted his SpongeBob SquarePants ice creams.
I know.
And they've actually recouped the cost online. They've all gotten donated $16,000, which
wow.
is lovely of people. So it's covered the cost of the ice cream, but it's also given them a little bit extra. So Jennifer has said the excess money will be used to help support Noah, which is lovely.
That's awesome.
But so it's got like a bit of a wholesome ending to it, but not all the time do these things end with wholesomeness.
Surely at least 40% of those ice creams have melted and are uneatable, because how do you fit that many ice creams into a fridge? You can't, can you?
If you try, you'd have to take everything out of it, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't fit it into our freezer at the moment because it's too busy stocked with Maxi Bons, but because they are on special Woolies this week.
Did you accidentally order some Maxi Bons from Amazon?
No, but we have the rule that when they're like on special, we buy two boxes.
Okay.
And that happened a few weeks ago as well, and I've been good at not eating them. So,
yeah, fair
I mean,
enough.
What's better though, a Maxi Bon or a SpongeBob SquarePants ice cream? You tell me.
I mean, the SpongeBob SquarePants ice cream did look pretty good.
But a Maxi Bon.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Have you had a Maxi Bon?
Oh, I've had all of the Maxi Bons.
You'd think being a good year into the whole pandemic and having to do a lot of things online, people would have learned their lesson about stuff and Zoom etiquette.
Yes.
And things like that.
Uh-huh.
Turns out it's not the case.
Okay.
Because a guy over in America, his name is Andrew Brenner, and he is an Ohio State Senator. That was really hard for me to say just
then. Yeah,
An Ohio State Senator. And he got sprung for taking in a Zoom meeting while driving.
Oh, gosh.
And you might be wondering, I wonder how he got sprung. Well, it's quite a fun story because he started off by turning his camera on and off heaps.
Mm.
So, like, to not allude anyone to the fact that he was literally driving a car.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I'll think of something else. And he changed the background to a kitchen. So it looked like he was in, like, just sitting in his kitchen. He had a seatbelt on.
How old was he? At least he knew how to get the background
on. Oh, he'd be like
on.
In his 40s or 50s.
I mean, that's pretty good knowledge of Zoom to get the background on.
But what the really ironic thing about this at the moment is, Ohio. I'm really struggling with that word.
The Ohio
Senate is currently taking up a bill that would create additional penalties for distracted drivers.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So it's a pretty ironic situation. But the weirdest thing about this, the meeting was only 13 minutes long. It was really quick. So during that time, he could have just pulled over.
Yeah.
He could have, you know, made sure he wasn't driving during this short meeting. But either way, despite his best efforts to disguise that he was driving, he got caught.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking that during this past year, obviously people have been on Zoom and FaceTime and a lot more than we ever have in our lives.
Definitely, yeah.
And people do it from weird places.
They do. Now you can be on be in a meeting while you're on the toilet or while you're in your kitchen cooking, or you can be anywhere for a meeting now.
Yeah. So I thought we could open this up. 533-1031. Where did someone Zoom you from or FaceTime you or video chat you from? Like, yeah. Which bizarre place? Because I was in a public restroom, like in the public bathrooms, and someone was on FaceTime. I was like, what are you doing? I was like washing my hands, and they're just like, and then they like rested the phone behind the sink. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Could you like not have just said, hey, I'll call you back in a second?
Yep. Yep.
Just one of those things.
But surely there's bizarre places out there.
That have to be.
Or bizarre, maybe not so much bizarre places, but like poorly timed Zoom calls, like during a funeral or during a wedding or during something like that. Surely there's something like that out there.
I would hope so. 533-1031. Give us a call. Keith from Delacombe. Where did someone FaceTime you from?
Well, I was FaceTiming my boss and he was sitting on the end of the bed and he had a T-shirt on. You could tell he was a bit unkempt, but then I happened to see his wife in the background and she probably showed off a little more than she intended.
Oh, yeah, FaceTiming from the bedroom, especially your boss, that's a risky move.
It is a risky move, but the boss's wife, she was fairly attractive, so I wasn't complaining.
So everyone on this meeting was like, we're just not going to say... Did, like, he realise at some point that what his wife was doing in the background?
He did after I started smiling and laughing a little bit, and all of a sudden he sort of went into the other room, which was good and it was not good in a way.
I just find this hilarious that it was the boss that did this. Because all the bosses are like, we shouldn't be, like, make sure you're being professional on Zoom and here's your boss on the end of the bed. Thanks for the call, Keith.
I feel like I read this maybe in the Courier a little while ago about people kicking up a stink about the amount of leaves that were around town. Did you see that?
No, I didn't, but I did notice it actually around. I was driving to work this morning. I felt like there's just constantly leaves. I almost fell over one. We were walking on the outside of Central Square near the entrance down the bottom, like on that little slip street kind of thing. And I wasn't looking where I was walking and I stepped on a leaf and it like slid underneath me.
Yeah, they can be dangerous. And especially in my suburb of Newington, they are everywhere. And we've got, in Newington, we've got like these cobblestone kind of gutters where the water goes through and they just fill with leaves.
Well, I can't complain because there's like so many nice trees around, which is nice.
I know.
It's not just buildings.
But the leaves are everywhere.
And the leaves are changing colours and it's autumn and you got to clean your gutters out, things like that.
This is the thing that there are so many leaves everywhere and you get leaves on your car, you get leaves everywhere. The reason why I bring this up is Saturday, I was sweeping my back area and the backyard and there were a heap of leaves and I've got this pile of leaves I got to dispose of. And as I was driving around, you know, over the weekend, I realised there are so many leaves. I don't know about other suburbs in Ballarat, but in Newington, there are so many leaves everywhere. Like, it's ridiculous. And every time I take Phoebe for a walk, it's almost like that video of the dog running into the big pile of leaves. It's just insane. And I'm wondering, whose responsibility is that to keep those leaves under control?
Well, I would think if they fall onto your property, it is your own because you like have to clean out your own gutters and stuff like that.
Like street gutters or house gutters?
Like house gutters.
Yeah, okay.
Street gutters, I'm not sure where it falls. I did see, I can't remember what street it was, but they were chopping down, they were trimming back the trees not too long ago. I can't remember what street it was on. But they were trimming down the trees to like, so I presume that was the council's way of helping, but that was more of the branches rather than the like actual leaves.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's one of those things. I remember at school though that we used to make leaf houses, which was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'd like gather up all the leaves and would put them in, like we'd make little rooms, like we'd make a floor plan pretty much.
What were you doing at school?
Was this not a normal thing?
How would you make a house? Would you like stick them in the ground?
No, so we'd make like a floor plan. So you know when you're playing Sims and you draw out like your floor plan?
Yeah.
We would do that, but with leaves. Okay, I had a weird childhood.
What?
This is what we did at school, and then we'd make giant piles of leaves, and then each recess we would take turns as to who got buried in the leaves.
Stacey, it's your turn.
That's literally what happened. Did this not happen at other people's schools?
No.
Have I just... Okay.
533-1031 if you ever got buried in leaves during school.
During recess. It was a lot of fun.
Anyway,
There was a ritual to it because you had to make sure you had a hood to cover your face so you didn't get dirt and sticks in your face.
Leaves in your face. Yeah, fair enough. I don't know if other people are having this problem with leaves getting everywhere, but it's very, very annoying. And it's like in the gutter. It's in the like the road gutter. It's not in...
Yeah.
So I don't know whose responsibility that is, whether I need to clean that out, whether council or...
Well, I don't know because it's meant to rain all of this this week. Yeah. So if the gutters are
they
filled
don't go
with
away.
Leaves, then yeah. it's going to make things flood, I would presume.
Yes.
I don't know. Just there's a lot of...
Who knows?
I don't know. If someone wants to... Maybe they should do like a leaf deposit scheme.
Where you like, bring leaves in and get money for it.
Yeah. So like,
I'd be rich.
It's up to like the kids to like, and it goes off weight. So like, yeah. if you bring in like heaps of leaves and it gets like, I don't know, like composted or something, mm. and then everyone picks up the leaves off like the streets and in the gutters and stuff like that, you take them in and you get money for it.
That would be.
I mean, I'd presume I would prefer a container deposit scheme first before a leaf deposit scheme. But hey,
how are you?
Any
going,
money from the government would be great.
Speaking of depositing stuff, how are you going with the glass situation here?
What do you mean there's a glass situation?
You've got to separate your glass and take it in.
Well, am I?
Yeah. Oh, do you not know?
did I? What do you mean?
We'll talk about it off air.
Okay, thank you. And obviously people now and then are going in for job interviews.
Yes.
So I think it's always nerve-wracking no matter how many job interviews you've done or yep. how good you are or appropriate for a job. It's still nerve-wracking.
It is, yeah.
You never know what's going to happen, but someone has learned the hard way of something you really shouldn't do at a job interview.
Okay.
And I feel like this is common sense, but maybe it's not, so I thought that I would bring it to the table. And apparently it is very important. Well, it's not apparently. It is very important to be nice to everyone within the building,
mm-hmm.
especially when going in for a job interview.
Yeah.
Because this guy learnt the hard way when he was rude to the receptionist, in
right.
quotes, because this building was smart. This office, they were like, what could we do here? They let the receptionist go do something else while this guy was coming in for an interview. And the hiring manager sat at reception and oh. pretended to be the receptionist to get that first interaction kind of thing.
Okay.
Which is smart.
I love how these workplaces have a bit of fun when they hire people. That would be fun, don't you think?
This is smart. But even then, even if it's not that happening, the receptionist would obviously tell that, like, in the kitchen getting lunch, being like, oh, that guy that came in for an interview was rude to me. And that would impact the decision eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so this place, they sat the hiring manager at the reception desk and this guy was rude to her.
Okay.
And just like didn't want to like make eye contact and it was just not a nice interaction. And then obviously sat down for his interview and went into the building, like into the actual room, and that receptionist was the hiring manager. And they pretty much just said, I don't think this is going to work out. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
And boom, done.
Surely, I mean, yeah, you would think if you're going in for a job interview, you would be kind and patient with everyone in the building.
Well, that's the thing. This story, it didn't say what the job was.
Right.
But I feel like this guy's just gone with an air of arrogance around him that he's already above the receptionist
yeah.
or something and he doesn't need to talk to them or be nice to them. But
yeah.
Every role counts in that office, and as I said, even if that receptionist isn't sitting in on the hiring process, word gets around a building very fast.
It's kind of like it's kind of like Undercover Boss. Do you ever watch that show?
Oh, I loved that show.
Love that show. There was an I actually watched a little clip on social media the other day of this guy being absolutely horrific to this like Boston market. This.
Oh, I saw that one when he like just kept complaining about the customers, and he's like, "Oh,
customers.
They just ruined my day."
He's
all
like,
the time.
Old people and the children are the worst. They're the worst customers. And the boss was like, "He's saying this to the boss." It's so funny. But you're right. You always got to be careful about who you talk to when you're going for a job interview.
Well, that's the thing. Just be nice to everyone because you never know who's going to be sitting at that front desk.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This was something that you shared with me about Australians sharing the exact age that they want to have, want to meet their life partner. You would think that it's early on, would you not?
Well, I don't know. I feel like these days people are wanting to start life earlier and earlier, but then at the same time, on the other end of that is people wanting to get further in their careers first.
True.
It's a hard kind of compromising situation that I currently find myself in.
Yeah, that's right. You're in the middle of both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
That's right. Australians want to meet their life partner at roughly the age of 31, get married at 33, have kids at 34, according to numbers collected by eHarmony.
I feel like people would have thought
that's over like a 5-year period.
Yeah, but I feel like the whole meaning, I feel like this has shifted back a whole decade.
Mm.
I would have thought that the average would have been like, we want to meet someone at around like in our 20s.
Yeah.
Like maybe mid-20s and then go from there. And then that five-year plan is to have kids and get married and stuff. But well, starting in the 30s.
That's right. A lot of people are thinking, a lot of people surveyed say that their 20s are a time for adventure. They're a time for flings. They're leaving the seriousness. Kind of, you know, leaving that to later in life, buying a property and walking down the aisle till the next decade, which being their 30s.
Okay, I do understand this. I feel like, yeah, a lot of it is to do with, like, getting that life experience. So, you know, which I totally agree with, that people, that's one of the reasons that I broke off my last relationship that I was in for quite some time, because I didn't know who I was as an adult without that person.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just went, I need to work at who I really am to know what I really want.
Yeah.
And I feel like I learned a lot from that experience, and I really did. And Greg's and I being together now, neither of us were ready for a relationship when we got together. And we said that to each other, and it just kind of blossomed into one eventually anyways. Mm. But we both said, like, no, we like our little kind of party lifestyles at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things because, yeah, you got to focus on your like career and stuff like that.
Yeah, nearly half, 45% of those surveyed said that they believe marriage is less important than previous generations.
I do believe that. I know a lot of people that are not getting married because, like, there's the whole de facto thing. I'm not sure how long that has been around for, but it's now, like, what, 6 months, or if you're living together, you're de facto. And it just throws everything else out the window, and, like, you have to prove that you're not in a relationship to, like, the government and stuff like that if you want to claim as, that you're single.
That's right. And also, millennials are less in a hurry to have kids. Now, you're kind of the opposite. We were literally just talking about this.
I'm ready to have kids. But at the same, like,
you were like, I'm so ready.
I've been a very maternal person, like, for ages. Like, even through school, I put this back to, like, at school at parties. I was the mum at the parties, looking after, holding girls' hairs back and, you know, making sure that everything was running smoothly.
Yeah.
And that,
we got, like, more chips? Anyone need more chips?
That's literally me. And so I feel like that's just kind of overdeveloped and stuff like that. I mean, and now you're having kids, so I'm like, well, if Josh's having one, why can't I have one, kind of thing?
Yeah, look, I would have probably waited a little while longer, but, you know.
It's just one of those things. And I find myself, and probably like a lot of other people out there, will be finding it's hard, like it's a weird decision to kind of make of whether, and I hate that it is a decision, of whether to have a career or to have kids.
Yeah.
Because especially for females wanting to have kids, because like usually the pressure is on them to like take the time off. Usually there's, and I know lots of stay-at-home dads, but for a female it's like, well, I need to push out having kids so I can get further ahead in my career so that by the time I take maternity leave and stuff, I'm in a secure position and things like that.
Mm.
And it just makes life really tricky, and it just kind of keeps pushing it back, and there's like that whole body clock issue going on in the back of your head of being like, well, if I push it too late or if I have kids early, is that my career over? And it's like a, it's a hard mix.
Yeah, it's rough, but they're the numbers that eHarmony have, you know, published. And I don't know who, I mean, eHarmony, I guess, is the kind of, you know, the
leader. I feel
like
not many young people are on eHarmony, though.
No,
I feel
eHarmony,
like Tinder should have done this poll.
Well, Tinder would have probably had higher rates of children, I think.
Oh, there it is. Obviously, Mother's Day was yesterday. And people, what did you get your mum?
She's coming down. Well, I don't.
Oh, you can't say it.
Well, she might be listening, but I have got her something that I'll give her once she gets here.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring this up because last week was my dad's birthday as well.
Okay.
So dad was on the 6th of May, and I remember it because it's the 6th of the 5th, 66. Great birthday to remember.
Yep.
And then his dad is the 6th of the 6th.
Well, my mum's birthday is 56.
The number 66.
Oh, sorry, 66.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, don't worry.
The number 6 just runs in our family.
It does, yeah, okay, sounds like it.
And so I was thinking, I'm like, oh, so dad's birthday was like Thursday last week. Mother's Day was Sunday, and I'm like, oh, what do I do here? You know, like two presents. I live like 8 hours away from my family.
Yep.
And I was just kind of like umming and ahhing. And I came up with the genius idea, and if they're listening now, it doesn't matter because it didn't happen. It hopefully should still happen because it's my sister's fault. So I called my sister and I said, what's the plan for Father's birthday and Mother's Day? She's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I said, my idea, why don't we get them like a gift card to go to a really nice restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be a joint present for mum and dad for his birthday and for Mother's Day. They can go out, have a nice dinner on us kind of thing. Like a good, like, I'm saying like $180 to $200 voucher.
Yeah.
So they can have like, and my sister can go pick them up. I'll say that she can
chauffeur
them so they can get a nice bottle of wine, things like that. I thought that would be a nice present idea.
Mm.
So wrong combining presents, but I thought it'd be nice. And so it got to, like, I messaged my sister and I was like, okay, so this is what I think we should do. She's like, yep, I agree. And I was like, okay, can you look after it? Because you're going to need to go get the actual physical. You need to, like, get the, like, pick a restaurant.
Yeah.
This is what they want. This is how much money we'll put in. Go from there. And she's like, yep, okay, no worries. Did my sister do anything? No. So Dad's birthday comes around and I'm like, happy birthday, Dad.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten you anything yet. Mother's Day comes around.
Oh, no.
Happy Mother's Day.
Appreciate
it. I haven't gotten you anything yet. And then Mum's like, so what's it? I bought myself a running pack. Is that what you're counting as my Mother's Day present? And I was like, ask your other child.
I bought myself a running pack. Yeah.
And I was like, ask your other child. And this was on FaceTime. And as that happened, my sister walked in the house after being out all day.
Yeah.
And I was like, have you done anything yet? She's like, nope. So between who's in the wrong here?
Yeah.
Is it me for delegating off to my sister, or is it my sister's fault for not doing anything?
No, I think it's your sister's fault for not doing
anything. She's also older than me as well and lives with my parents.
Yeah.
So I feel like it is her fault.
I agree with you. I think it's her fault for not doing it. If she's listening, sorry. I just agree with your sister. I think she should have done something. This is the thing with similar situation with me and my dad, where we say, oh, what are we going to do for Mum for Mother's Day? Dad goes, oh, I'll figure something out. And then when he does nothing, Mum goes, Mother's Day. I'm like, I spoke to Dad about it. What am I going to do? I can't, like, I think about things too late and I can't send something up because I won't get there on time. And I'm just like, yeah. But this year I'm lucky because they're coming down so I can actually physically hand them something just a couple of days after Mother's Day.
Yeah.
But I do think your sister was in the wrong.
Thank you. I'm glad to know that someone in the family agrees with me.
Am I in the family?
Yeah, you're part of the family now.
Okay, great. Well, I've met your dad.
Welcome to the clan.
I hope you're not going to forget my birthday.
Welcome to the Sixers clan.
Hey, can you do me a favour and not delegate my birthday present to your sister?
Okay, I will do.
It's the fresh way to wake up. Power FM Brekkie with Josh and Maddie.
Good morning, Ballarat. 8:10 this morning on your Monday morning. Josh and Maddie here this morning.
Heritage Festival kicked off.
And there were a whole heap of people. I was driving through town over the weekend. I was like, what's everyone doing in Tweed? Everyone's wearing Tweed.
Oh, the Tweed ride.
Tweed ride.
And the fashions on the field.
And we saw, Eden and I were driving, and we saw the cutest thing. There were these two, an older man and an older woman, probably in their 70s or 80s. They both had tweed on, and they were both holding a double bike, one of those double
bikes, a
tandem bike. And I was like, goals right there.
That's so wholesome.
Goals.
Also, that's the thing you don't see that often these days is a tandem bike.
No.
I don't know if you've ever really been able to see them that often. But
I'd love to ride one.
Me too. Can we pencil that
Surely
in.
There's one that we can.
Let's pencil that in for something.
Could we broadcast from a double bike?
I'm sure that we could. It has been done before.
Okay. Really? By who?
I'm not going to say them on our station.
Other people?
Other people.
In Melbourne or around Australia?
Around Australia.
Oh, well, they're no direct competition.
They've left that station now, so it's fine.
Okay.
But yeah, it has been done before. I feel like we could do it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something fun. Who would go with the front or the back? This is the thing. Is there like? Is
well,
it like
the front is steering. Back's mainly just for power.
Because like you're a lot taller than me. Like so, I feel like if you were at the front, I just couldn't see the whole entire
time. But I'd
be
steering, so you just have to trust me that I'd know where we're going.
But then at the same time, when you're in a kayak or a canoe, the front person is usually like it goes off weight and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same for a tandem bike, but anyway, we can research this and get into it.
We'll get all these little details figured out at some point because apparently
right.
We're doing a tandem bike ride.
Yeah.
So we have got some tickets to give away to the Sound of Music sing-along hosted by Hans this Saturday.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Oh, it's a good soundtrack.
This sounds like spa music.
Yeah.
Just this harp.
Yeah.
Like just close your eyes. Not if you're driving.
Yeah, don't.
close your eyes. The girl on the radio told me to close my eyes, officer. And just think like you're in a spa.
Mm.
Oh, beautiful. Anyways.
It's good, isn't it?
Something that's happening this weekend is Hans is coming, international superstar, to host his sing-along Sound of Music night. It's going to be a night of the movies that you won't forget. This Saturday, May 15th at Regent Cinemas, you can get your tickets at hansofficial.com or you can try and win them right now.
That's right.
Which is pretty cool. We've got a double pass to give away today and tomorrow. And all you got to do is tell us what lyric comes next?
Yes, so finish the lyric.
Yeah, finish the phrase kind of thing. So we've gone with a classic Sound of Music song. Let's have a listen.
A long, long way to run.
What's next?
What comes after that?
Tell us what comes after Far, A Long, Long Way to Run. 533-1031 to win a double pass to the sing-along Sound of Music tour hosted by Hans. It's going to be an absolute hoot of a night.
Yeah, really, really fun night.
He was in the studio with us this time last week, and my God, it was loose, and it was lots of fun.
We played I Reckon in 5 seconds, and I was quite nervous.
It was lots of fun, so you want to head along. 533-1031 is the number to call right now to win yourself those tickets.
Come on, give us a call.
Cherie from Winter Valley, we have a double pass to give away to the sing-along Sound of Music hosted by Hans this weekend. Do you want to go?
Yes. Please, we do.
All righty. All you got to do, tell us what lyric comes after this. We'll play it again for you.
A long, long way to run.
What's next?
So, a needle pulling thread.
Let's find out.
A long, long way to run.
Here it is.
So, a needle pulling thread.
That is correct.
Yeah, well done.
Congratulations, Siri. You are going to the sing-along Sound of Music.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you.
Awesome. Who are you going to take with you?
I think I'll take my daughter.
Oh, fantastic. How old is your daughter? Is she over the age of 18? It is family friendly, but just in case.
Well, no, she's 12.
I'm sure she'll be fine.
She'll be fine.
She'll be fine. You just might have to be prepared to answer a couple of questions.
That's okay.
We're going to talk about the budget.
Budget chat. We should have had like an intro.
Money, money, money.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
money.
One.
Co-treasurer Josh Frydenberg is going to deliver his second budget speech in 6 months.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 7:30 as he aims to rebuild the economy after the coronavirus pandemic.
Yep.
Now, I'm usually the kind of person that's like, yeah, budget, schmudget. Is it going to affect me?
Mm.
This one actually might.
It may, yes.
So I thought that I would pull out some of the most important things, some quick little facts of what we know so far that has been leaked and announced and stuff.
Yep.
And go through it. So, number one, if you're a working parent, the government is going to spend $1.7 billion on a package that will bring in several sweeping changes to the childcare system. The cost of childcare for a second and subsequent child will be subsidised by up to 95%.
Wow.
Up from the current 85% maximum. And the $10,000 subsidy cap for high-income earners is also going to be removed as well.
So that's for your second child and subsequent children?
Yes.
So not first child?
Not the first. So,
damn.
Josh, need another one. If you earn what they consider a normal wage. Love that it's called a normal wage.
This is hilarious, by the way.
So Josh Frydenberg is expected to extend the low and middle income tax offset, which is worth up to $1,080 and benefits people with a taxable income up to $126,000 because that's middle income up to $126,000.
That's crazy. Oh.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. The bonus, which was available for the 2018 to 2019 and 2019 to 2020 and 2020 to 2021 income years, was scheduled to run out in June. So,
right.
But Mr. Frydenberg is expected to extend it for another year,
okay.
Which is great. So we get a little extra bonus at tax time, which I love. If you're a single parent, single parents who have been priced out of Australia's soaring property market are set to be the big winners from the budget, with a new scheme allowing them to purchase a home with a 2% deposit.
That's amazing.
So under the new plan, starting in July, a single parent can buy a $500,000 home with a deposit of just $10,000. Normally, the property would require a 20% or $100,000 deposit. The new housing initiative will be called the Family Home Guarantee and is based on the highly successful first home loan deposit scheme. Obviously, there's lots of terms and conditions and stuff that's going to go in with that.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what's going to happen with like mortgage insurance and stamp duty and things like that. But apparently, if you're a single parent, you're going to be able to get a deposit for 2%.
20% deposit of $100,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. That's why it's so hard to get into the property market is to get that. that deposit. Some big ticket items in the budget, some major road upgrades, a new freight terminal in Melbourne is in the works, and the rebuild of a key regional airport as well. So this will help create thousands of jobs over the next 10 years as we recover from the pandemic. Aged care. Royal Commission into Aged Care released its final report in March, detailing ways for the system to be improved after shocking instances of abuse and neglect. On the day of the report, ScoMo described the upcoming budget as an aged care budget and promised to pour significant resources into the sector. They've said that that will exceed $10 billion over several years. If you're a woman, the budget will include $353.9 million in a health package for women spread over 4 years. It includes funding for cervical and breast cancer, endometriosis and reproductive health as well. If you're currently looking for work, the budget will contain a series of measures aimed at driving down the unemployment rate. We could see some more money invested in skills and training and things like that. Of course, there's a ton of other stuff as well, like climate change. If you live rurally, there's going to be things, digital skills, cadetships, natural disaster stuff and defence stuff. But that's the main point so far that would affect most people listening, hopefully. So some good wins in there, hopefully. They haven't come out with being like where this money is getting pulled away from, but
yeah,
that's always the case. But yeah, budget chat. I'll give you more updates when we find out more what's happening with the budget.
It's so exciting. I love a good budget. Oh, I just want to read through the whole thing.
Do you now?
Not at all.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Nope.
What's hot and what's not? Thanks to the Western Hotel.
That's right, hot or not time. For some reason, I always leave these to the last minute.
Same.
Sometimes I feel like that's better, though. You know, it's something, an issue that's just popped up.
Yeah.
That I need to get off my chest to get other
so
people's opinions on.
So last minute that I'm actually still thinking of mine.
Love that.
Love that. But you go ahead and I'll see if I can catch up.
Alrighty. My one for this morning.
Yeah.
Which iPhone users, but like the equivalent on Samsung.
Yeah.
Using Siri for things.
3, 2, 1.
Hot.
I'm a hot.
Yeah.
So rather than like opening up your phone and like setting an alarm for a time or setting a timer, you just say, hey Siri, do this.
Eden's got an iPhone. She loses her phone a lot of the time. So she'll just be like, hey Siri, where are you? And then Siri will be like, I'm over here. And then you'd be like, oh, great.
I find it quite handy because the reason we talk about this, Lockie is sitting in the studio at the moment and we're just talking about Bert Newton, about how old he was, and he Googled how old is Bert Newton and I went, hey Siri, how old is Bert Newton? So I thought that was an interesting topic to do.
Yeah.
Some people love it or hate it.
My one this morning is a bit of a domestic issue. Whether you hang out clothes, because there's a wives' tale. I don't think I've done this one before. I don't think so, anyway. Whether you hang out clothes or whether you use the dryer. My mum is a hanger-outerer, but I love a good dryer.
3, 2, 1.
What am I meant to be saying, hot or not?
I always do this, don't I?
Using a dryer or not?
Using a dryer to dry your clothes.
3, 2, 1.
Hot.
But I will use the line. I only use the dryer when the clothes won't dry on the line.
That's true. Eden has a rule where it's like shirts and pants go on the line, but like underwear and sheets and stuff go in the dryer.
I think because I saw a TikTok on this that for some reason embedded in our brains when we were being raised that the dryer was this sacred thing that you never touched.
Yes.
Like no matter what, you weren't allowed to touch it, that it was going to make the electricity bill go absolutely through the roof. It was going to set the house on fire because of the lint filter.
Yeah.
And so you just never touched it. And then only since I've moved out of home, I'm like, why don't people use a dryer more often? It's so handy.
Dryers are amazing.
They are. But sometimes they do shrink your clothes.
They do. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, that's it. Another podcast over. You can tune in to Josh and Maddie live weekdays from 6 on Power FM Ballarat.